Let's get into our Bible study this morning. I know I had you locate 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and that's good. Put your finger there. But if you would, now go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, 15. And we'll read this little portion here as our get-started thoughts. This is a prayer that Paul prayed regarding the Ephesian church there. And he says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, that was verse 15 and 16 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Now, verse 17 picks up. This is basically his prayer for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. Now, so he's speaking of Jesus himself, who sits at the right hand of the Father and has raised him into this place of authority and rule far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Verse 22, "And that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The reason I read that is for the very end part of this as we start to talk about the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is not super different, in a sense, from your body. And Paul drafts this illustration for us as we get into 1 Corinthians. And he starts to describe for us the functioning of the body. And I wanted to start off with something that was very, very significant for us, because your body isn't to operate or does not operate independent of your head. Your head, your mind, your brain sends all the signals. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we are wonderfully designed by God. You know, we just take for granted that we see clearly until we start to get older and don't quite see as clearly as we used to. But we take for granted that. We take for granted all our motor skills because, you know, once we learn to walk and we learn to grab things and do things, it just is a developed thing. And it's easy to just start going into like an autopilot and not realize that there's a head that you've been given that tells your body everything to do and how to do it. It's connected to your central nervous system, which, you know, you feel pain, and it tells your, you know, it's a radical design that God's given us. But we don't function separate from our head. You know, it becomes, if we do that, or if that was to happen, it's very dysfunctional, isn't it? You know, when you see an animal that's, you know, it's the whole thing that's an illustration of a chicken with its head cut off. You know, it's just bouncing all over the place. It's a lot of movement, but nothing effective. And so we need the head so that we can be effective. And so we being a body, as we look in verse 12 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Interesting the description that's given to us here, and in those three verses, seven times the word one is mentioned. So if you have any kind of an outline or you like to take notes, those first three verses, I think, absolutely are pointing to us to a single thought that we are one. There is a single body of Christ. Though there are many members, just like there are many different church gatherings, there's different bodies of people gathering, but we are still one body in Christ. When people give their hearts to the Lord and they get saved, they didn't join, really. I understand some churches have membership here. You'd be hard-pressed to become a member because we don't have membership. But if you call this church home, then you're a member of this body of believers. I don't find church membership personally in the Bible, so I don't make a big emphasis of it. But if other people want to do that, it's fine. I don't believe we need your signature for you to commit to be a part of the body of Christ. You see, when you give your life to the Lord, you became born again, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and you then now are a member of the body of Christ. And it is one body, it's the universal body around the world, global international body of believers, and it's one. Now, it has many members, just like a group of people. There's one body, but there's many members. Just like us, we have hands and feet and eyes and ears, many members of this one body. But we have a head, and it's Jesus Christ. The first thing you want to make sure that you're clear on is, what would Jesus do? You remember those old bracelets everybody used to wear? You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And the thing that people talked about for a while. I love that thought of what would Jesus do in a situation. Because he is our example in Scripture of what the body should do. He shows you and me what we should do in a situation. Do any of us really need to think a whole lot about what to do 150 miles south of us? You go, you help, you do whatever you can. And wherever we travel, whatever we do in relief efforts, for example, it's always I'm always praying for him and encouraging him. Hey, just be the body of Christ. Be the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. Just do whatever you believe Jesus would do in that situation. If it's handing out some water, then it's handing out some water. If it's giving somebody a hug, it's giving somebody a hug. If it's praying with somebody, it's praying with somebody. Whatever the situation is, man, that's what the Lord, whatever his guidance is in that situation, whatever you think he would do, do that. Without restraint, just do what the Lord would, because we are one, and we have one head, not many, and I like that. So we have a leader, we have a head that is to tell us what to do. But we have to stay, I think our key is staying connected to that head. That's really our focus, is to stay connected. If you and how do we do that? We've got prayer, obviously, is one direct connection. Fellowship, absolutely, we want to be connected. But man, staying in the Word, staying in the Word, it's His instruction to you and to me of what to do in any circumstance. He speaks to our hearts and impresses upon us from His Word, His revelation to us. He tells us what to do and how to handle situations. So we are one in Christ. One body. Not many, but one ultimately. We joke about it, but it really is true. Do you really believe there's any name tags in heaven? In eternity? The next thought, verse 15, but the foot should say, now, if a part of the body, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? These are rhetorical questions, self-explanatory, I think. I love Paul's practicality of how he explains something like this. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, it's connected. Of course it's a part of the body. One of the things I think can happen, verse 15 and 16, second thought here to kind of look at, is if we know that from the first thought that we're one, we're just one body, when you and I start to step back and spend too much time on self-introspective thinking, just looking at ourselves, we can start becoming focused, and it tends to cause us to be more isolated. And as we become more isolated, you know what Proverbs 18:1, it's a trap of the enemy. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise counsel. And so we can have a tendency to feel isolated, and we start looking. And then the other danger in this is that there starts to be this odd comparing. Well, I'm not this. This seems to be more the focus. And I'm not this, so I guess I don't really fit. It's self, looking at self too much, and we start going into this comparison thing. And we're supposed to be looking to the Lord. The Lord, as we've been going through, talking about the gifts, the Spirit dispenses the gifts and as he wills and as he desires within the body. He has made each of us uniquely. Every one of us have differing gifts and capacities. You're designed uniquely, every one of us, both in a natural gifting and also in spiritual gifting. But all is needed. You know, pardon me, you know the gift of helps, for example? We don't think a whole lot about it because they're just always there helping. But I tell you, you need the gift of helps. You know, sometimes that is not the most glorious, glamorous role. That is some Western mentality that we've developed that's worldly. That has nothing to do with the body of Christ. You know how important your big toe is? We don't think about our big toes that much. They're there, you know. Now, very few of us have attractive big toes, probably. You know, you don't walk around, hey, man, did you see my big toe? I mean, it's just, you know, it's not something you talk about even much. How many of us talk about, I don't talk about my big toe. I'm thankful for it, though. It is the center of balance. It helps us to be able to balance the rest of our body. It's very important. And sometimes you need to pick, when you're lazy, you don't want to pick things up. You know, you don't want to bend over, you just got to pick it up. You need your big toe, man. Helpful. I know some of you don't possess all those skills, but the idea is, if you're a big toe, that's cool. Just be the best big toe that you're supposed to be. If you're a hand, be a hand. If you're the foot, if you're an eye, be an eye. If you're an ear, be an ear. Whatever you are, it's good. God made you that inside the body. This is part of what Paul's saying. We get so weirded out thinking, and we start comparing whoever we perceive ourselves to be, we start comparing it. And then basically what we're saying is, God, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me. I should have been that. Can you imagine that? God, you don't know what you're doing. I should have been that. That's what we do when we go into this comparison mode. And it's not what God desires because we are one body and all of the aspects, all the parts are needed. Every part plays its part. It's all important. Every piece is significant and matters. If the whole body, in verse 17, were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Every part is necessary, Paul's saying. There would be some kind of lacking. So when you think you're trying to be something or do something that's outside of the scope of your gifting and calling where God's made you and how God's designed you, when you're doing that, what happens is now there's a lacking in the whole because you're not doing what God's purpose for you to do. And you will not be fulfilled until I won't be fulfilled. None of us are fulfilled except for when we are doing the thing that God's purposed and called us to do, whatever that is. That's when it all fits together. You just being you in the Lord. Do you realize how much we've been impressed in our world that you being you, giving your life to Jesus, starting to follow the Lord. The Lord loves you and I enough not to leave us just the way we were. We're always being shaped and molded into his image, right? To be more like Jesus. That's awesome. But God loves you and accepts you and me just as we are and wants to move in and through each one of us just like you are. That you've been wonderfully designed just as you are. And there's a purpose and a plan for your part as you fit in to the body of Christ. Paul here in verse 17 says, we'd be lacking. We need each other. We need one another. Verse 18, next thought. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. How did he do that? Just as he pleased. That as the Lord pleased, he set those members. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. This idea again, singleness, one body, many members, not all an eye. Can you imagine? These are odd. I love Paul because he has these odd thoughts that he throws out there in a sense. But when you think through it, it's just like, yeah, that would be weird. I think the third thought here is his will is what we want done. We are his body, and he has placed us as he pleased, whatever pleased him. And we want to seek, if he's designed it that way, then we want to seek to fulfill that, then that would be pleasing to him. If you're a foot, great. If you're a hand, great. If you're an eye, great. Just be that. It's going to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to please the Lord. One body, absolutely. Don't get caught and trapped into that whole thing of comparing to others and looking at self and this introspective thing. Just be who you are in the Lord. This ultimately pleases God because he placed you in the body the way he's designed for you to be. Verse 21, fourth. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. It's interesting that this is, again, an unfortunate aspect of looking at others and then building yourself up by devaluating the role of someone else. It's just not right. Again, you want to keep all your body members, right? We want to keep all our body, right? We want that. That's what we want. That's the way we should look at the body of Christ. We all need one another. And again, this idea of looking at others and in a way that would be devaluating. Humility is really what God would desire from each of us. Seeing the necessity of others and their gifts. It's really interesting, and it's a spiritual matter. It's an understanding the things that we've been talking about in going through the gifts. And as we get through, we'll finish up, and we'll go through chapter 13 and 14, we'll have a better, well-rounded understanding of the gifting of God and how the body works in that way. But just, I love how this is just kind of thrown in there so that we understand, hey, we are one body, and that we are mutually dependent on one another. We need each other. And we shouldn't diss on our own gifts, nor should we diss on the gifts of others. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I mean by that? You know, we shouldn't be looking at the and diminishing another person's gifting because it's not as visible maybe as somebody else's, because I think you'd miss the whole boat on what God's purpose is as a whole body. Now, again, I've found it to be interesting. As you get older, you know, I'm looking at people, I see their mouths moving, and I can't hear a word they're saying. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just something that's happened. You know, I have to hang on just a second, and I lean in a little bit. You know, it's just the way it goes. It's a horrible bummer, but it's the way it goes. The reality is now I'm starting to appreciate things. I wish I would have worn earplugs more when I was using all my skill saws and welders and equipment going off all the time. We want to look at and appreciate, not devaluate, but we want to appreciate. We don't want to lessen. We don't want to diminish the value of someone else's gifting and calling. We want to appreciate that. And so I'm encouraging this thought process when we're looking at others. And we also want to be thankful to the Lord for the things that he's doing in and through our own lives, not to be comparing. This next thought, verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think less honorable. Again, we talked about the big toe. On these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. You know, I really see respect again and appreciation, this idea of humility, really functioning in humility. And when we function in humility, there's a result to that. We started off with this one body. There's just one. Start off, be careful, then the next thing. Be careful not to get too caught up in introspective thinking or comparing to others. We want to be pleasing to God. God's placed you as He pleased in the body. So that third thought is that, man, we want to continue to please God by accepting where we are in the body and what God's doing as He's designed us. And then we don't want to take away or diminish others, but we want to look at that respectfully. And then not only do we want to look at respectfully, but we really want to appreciate in humility others. And that was the fifth thought, appreciating others through humility, being humble, not seeing ourselves in a different spot than we really ought to, not thinking, as Paul said in Romans, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to understand the need of mutual dependency. Again, this is that same concept seems to resound through there. Now, the sixth thing is there's a result from this aspect of humility. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is a unifying factor within the body, and I think that's really important. When we see the body as one, and we understand the need, you know, Paul uses this as an example even within marriage, for example. Paul talks about the fact that, you know, no man doesn't care for his own and give nutrition to his own self and love himself in that way. He sustains his life. He cares for and sustains his life. He says, man, have love for your spouse. Have love for your wife in this way. You care for yourself. Man, care for your spouse. And it's just a clear understanding that we do care for that. And this unifying through humility, seeing the value of others, respecting and appreciating them, brings us to this place of unity, that we function right. So, and I mean this in the right sense. When we're rightly connected to the head, spiritually speaking, to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're rightly connected to that, all our motor skills, everything we're doing is functioning properly, the way it was designed to function. I know that things sometimes happen, genetically and different things. I understand that. But inside the body of Christ, as we are designed by the Lord, we are to function, if we're connected to the head, we're going to function properly. We're going to interact and be effective in reaching and connecting with others. There's going to be a unifying factor. If we just went through and took these concepts and just worked them into our being, we would find that ultimately there would be more of a unifying factor, even with inside of an assembly like ours, a gathering, a body of Christ like ours. And that's God's really heart. Why is this so much God's heart? What really is the impact with this? Why does this really matter that much? Mainly because it's not about you. That's why it matters so much, because it's not about you. You see, there's a world out there looking right now. I repel and am greatly offended by the group that left just north of here and went just south of here and is posting, picketing, and making all these things of how God hates now because of this destruction, Joplin, Missouri. Is there anybody here that thinks that's Christ-like behavior? Okay, because if you do, raise your hand. We want to escort you out. No, I'm just saying. No. But seriously, the idea really is this. We've got a world of people watching. Do we care about some of these things? Like with the two young guys here that shared their worship with us, and they've got a heart for a concern of kids that are being pulled in and sucked in to a military action. That's not affecting maybe directly you, but it's affecting them. It's happening on the other side of the world. You know, we can't do everything. I understand that. That doesn't mean we just sit down and do nothing. That means you do what you can do. And what we can do is apply these things that we're learning so that your friends, your family, the people around are looking in and they see the body of Christ. See, you and I are his representatives. We are ambassadors, the Bible says, for him. In other words, we represent him. In other words, we're from a different country. Our citizenship is, we're really citizens. Your passport should really say heaven or eternity. Some of our Japanese friends came up with this great thing that they say they're heavenese. I'm serious. That's no joke. It's written out in Japanese. It's great, man. They got these shirts that just say we're heavenese, man. And they're just trying to create a distinction. Yeah, they know they're Japanese, but they're heavenese. Have you seen those? Marty's got it at Kickback Cafe. He's got all these T-shirts and all this stuff set up. So I've got stickers and stuff, these bumpers. It's crazy. Heavenese. Anyhow, so you get the idea, though. Your citizenship, my citizenship, we're representatives of another country in that sense. We're ambassadors. And so when people are looking at you and looking at me, and we're dissing on our group, when we're dissing on another member of the body, now you can have legit critique, okay? But there's a biblical way to handle that, right? You've read Matthew 18. And there's also then the balance of if you're going to approach that, you got to approach that to make sure your heart's right. I've lived in a fishbowl for many years now. And people observe, but they really don't know what they may think they know sometimes, just by observation. You want them to. You want to represent Jesus Christ, but people don't always know. And so it's important that we approach that from the right heart, isn't it? That we have the right perspective. That when we're looking at those things, we're seeing it from God's vantage point. I know that we look around and we see plenty of schism around us. I understand that. All we can do is our part to just accept and say, hey, that's the way they do that. That's it. That's the way they approach that. Being judgmental is really a bummer because it leads you to, then you have to, if you're judgmental, then you've got to have a trial and you've got to have it, you know, all in your mind. And you've got to, you know, form a prosecution. All this stuff happens inside your brain. And then you've got to, you know, have this mock trial over this situation of these people. And we judge, jury, and you're also hangman. So now you've got to keep all that going in your mind all the time. Can you imagine that? You, as a Christian, the beauty of this is you're set free. You don't have to do that anymore. The thing that you're free to do is love people. You're free just to love them. Let God sort out all this other stuff. You and I are free to love. This last thought in verse 26. Number 7 of your thoughts for the day. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Caring and sharing. I think probably the suffering part's not so bad because we can kind of embrace that. Somebody's struggling, we get in there, we try and help them, we feel they have compassion, we feel their struggle, we're working through it. But when one's exalted or lifted up in the Lord somehow, we struggle with that sometimes. Because we revert back to, well, because I am not a hand, am I, and we start going into comparing. it's not about you. It's about Jesus. All we need to do is, everywhere we go, whatever we do, just try and be the eyes and the ears, the hands and the feet, the body of Christ, whether by ourselves or with a group of people. Either way, we just want to represent Jesus as Christians.